and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Nunes' hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tags her again.
Over and over, Amanda Nunes.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports pylon studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, sponsored by the World Boxing Council. Often imitated, but never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also an award-winning boxing writer, so I'm a journalist of note, and get this. I won 4 boxing championships as far as the Golden Glove fighters concerned. So, supposedly, allegedly, people say I know a little bit about boxing, but guess what? I've always found out the average boxing fan has a different insight on the sport and the business. So, if you want to give me a call on the toll-free, you can. Here's your opportunity. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. That's right. If you want to text us something here in the studio, you can. 415-275-1613. Well, straight up, Manny Pacquiao, the next president of the Philippines, maybe not. Of course, I told you he's like going to be the guy. The conservative party thinks that Manny Pacquiao will be the guy in a few years, of course, to take over after this guy, Duarte, ends up leaving office. Well, in the meantime, they're having a pissing contest back and forth. Talk about Manny and the president. Manny's saying there's $10.4 billion of Filipino money missing. And, of course, the president's calling him a piece of spit. But the president is not calling him a piece of spit with a P. He's calling him a piece of spit with an H. So straight up, Manny and the president going back and forth. And Manny's fight with Errol Spence, is it going to happen? We'll hear from the PhD of boxing, Mr. Socrates Palmer, after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide in WBC Boxing TV, coming to you from San Francisco, California, the world's most beautiful city.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
As I figure out this camera situation here, of course, we're talking about Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, and WBC Boxing TV comes to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Straight up, Socrates Palmer, Boxing's PhD, will join us in just a few minutes. Of course, want to mention the fact that passing this week in the world of boxing, Lalo Ledwaba. He was the IBF 122-pound champion until 2001 when Manny Pacquiao, this Filipino, burst on the scene. He was only 32-2 at the time. And he stopped this guy. Ledwaba was like a 4-5-1 favorite. He stopped him in the 6th round. That began Manny Pacquiao's real run here as far as being an American star. Because before that, he had held a WBC flyweight title, I believe, in the Philippines. But nobody knew who he was here in the United States outside of me. And how did I know? Sidney Hall. Sidney Hall was an attorney based in San Jose, California, now or Burlingame, California, has 2 offices. Anyway, he was a boxing agent per se, and he was telling me about this Filipino guy he discovered, and he was Manny Pacquiao talking this and Pac-Man. And I was hearing Pacquiao before the American people heard Pacquiao, of course, and he ends up fighting Lalo Ledwaba, and Sidney calls me on the phone about a week before, and he says, watch this, it's going to be a knockout win for my guy. I said, are you sure? He goes, I bet the house on it. I go, you bet the house on it? You bet the house? And he goes, yeah, I bet the house on it. Sidney's not a betting guy, he's a lawyer, he's not a betting guy anyway. He was willing to bet on Pac-Man big, and of course, he did stop him in the 6th round. But Ledwaba passed away this week from COVID. at the age, I believe, of 53 years old, 36-6 was his record. One draw and 23 KOs, was stopped three times. Of course, Manny Pacquiao at the time, as I said, 32-2. Man, good Lord, that was a long, long time ago. 2001 to be exact, but may he rest in peace. Of course, Ludwaba had that clash in South Africa with a guy I thought that was going to be the real South African star in Cassius Bolui. But Cassius Bolui, that was back in 2004 when he lost two fights in a row to Bolui. But Bolui never seemed to come onto the scene and take care of business, sort of faded at the end. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside. Look into the world of boxing, MMA. Text line hot and open. Of course, you can text us. I see a couple of texts coming in right now. The number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Looks like, of course, the WBC and Linear World Heavyweight Champion, Mr. Tyson Fury, the Gypsy King, of course, unbeaten in 31 fights, 30 wins, no losses, and a draw, of course, something like 25, 26 knockouts. Going to go a third time with Deontay Wilder. Now, why does he want to go a third time with Deontay Wilder? Actually, they want to go a third time so Anthony Joshua can get out of his Sky Sports contract. Of course, Anthony Joshua, 2012 Olympic gold medalist, one of the heavyweight champions, who has a lot of title belts, no doubt about that, but Tyson Fury is a man, everybody knows it. Anyway, Joshua had one fight left on the Sky Sports deal, and in order to to make the contract good, he ends up fighting Oleg Usyk, who probably get, you know, former cruiserweight champion. Guy was a fierce guy at 200 pounds, but over 200 pounds, not so much. Anyway, bottom line is, that's why the fight between Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua will not take place in the Middle East as it was supposed to take place this summer or in the early fall. Bottom line is, we take it now from the West Coast to the East Coast and bring in Boxing's PhD from the Bronx, Mr. Socrates Palmer. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. Happy 4th of July, sir.
Yeah, happy 4th of July to everybody out there. Happy Independence Day, all that kind of good stuff. First thing I want to ask you about is, who is this guy, David Morrell? I mean, he's only got five fights with four knockouts. He's got a title, and he blasts this guy, Mario Cazares, who was unbeaten and can fight. I saw a couple of Cazares' fights. He could fight a little bit. He was unbeaten, and he knocked him out in 143 seconds.
Yeah, I'm still trying to find out who David Morrell is. I mean, he definitely found a way to make a splash. He is from Cuba.
Cuba. You
know, and I don't know if he comes from that standout, I'm assuming rather that he comes from that standout amateur program. He looks like $1 million as a super middleweight, you know, tremendous physique. And they say he's 23 years old.
Why did you say that? Time out. Now I know what you meant by that. Why did you say they say he's 23 years old?
Because the same Cuban way fighters are known. I had an aunt that was 36 for about 10 years.
Yeah, well, I always thought the Joel Castlemore, the 1992 Olympic gold medalist, I thought he was like in his 50s almost. Anyway, they never caught that. I remember one time I went to Mike McCallum. Mike McCallum fought in the Mike McCallum, one of the greatest fighters of all time. I think deserves to be in the top 20 of anybody's top 10. Top 20 ratings of pound for pound fighters. Anyway, that's how great he was. Unheralded. Tommy Hearns didn't want to fight him. Roberto Duran said, way, no way. Sugar Ray Leonard didn't want to mention his name, but the bottom line is, Mike McCallum, I printed one day that he was 38 years old or something like that in Flash Magazine. Sock. And he's chasing me all over the MGM Grand in his Jamaican accent going, Pedro, how could you say such a thing? Anyway, he's a class. Do you think he's underpropped? I think he's way underpropped.
Mike McCallum, absolutely. Absolutely. Mike McCallum had a tremendous career. I remember as a kid, he beat down my boy, the Cobra,
Donald Curry,
in a great fight. You know, Curry was going up in weight and McCallum, you know, stopped him. Unfortunately, he got the big star towards the end of his career when he fought, you know, I believe he fought, James Toney.
Yeah.
Right. When he was a little bit past over the hill. But Mike McCallum was the body snatcher, and he's going on to be a trainer. I think he's out in Vegas now, if I'm not mistaken.
That's where he's living. But that one left took silenced Curry, and I told my stepfather, Mike, may he rest in peace, Michael Ramirez. In fact, I was down there with the entire family for that fight. It was at the indoor Caesars Palace Sports Pavilion, which has been raised. But I told my stepfather, I said, listen, he's a 2.5 to 1 underdog. I said, go out there and bet a bunch of money on Mike McCallum. He's telling me, oh, come on. And then after he scores, I think he bet like $500. So after he scores like a $1,900 payoff or something like that, he's saying it was, yeah, I knew McCallum was going to win. You know, typical stepfather.
You know, it just a really underrated career. Never stopped all his losses by decision.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a really, really good fighter. Underrated. He lost to someone he probably shouldn't have lost to. Sambu Kalembe, I remember, right after the Donald Curry fight. Milton McCrory. That's another guy from the 80s that he took care of. Mike McCallum, the body snatcher, definitely worth a YouTube dive for the younger audience.
You're no doubt about that. I mean, we can go through the loss to James Toney was a majority decision loss there. That was in Reno, Nevada. I was there, and that fight could have went either way. And the boxing establishment was not giving McCallum a break. No way, no how. Speaking of the boxing establishment, Manny Pacquiao, we'll get to him in just a second. Gervonta Davis, a winner last week, coming from behind. I mean, Floyd and those guys were freaking out in the corner. You know what Floyd reminds me of now? Do you remember Andy Griffith, the TV show? He reminds me of Floyd the Barber. Floyd Mayweather now, he reminds me of Floyd the Barber. He was in the corner, sort of reminded me of Floyd the Barber in the corner there telling you're losing. Bottom line is he did come up on the shy end of a few rounds early on. I'm talking about Gervonta Davis, but he roared back at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if it was, I thought the fight was pretty even, you know. Barrios had his moments. He probably overachieved, because I think there was a lot of fighters a lot of people that didn't think Barrios belonged in the same ring. And he gave a really good showing. Gervonta Davis, he's on that list of must watch guys, you know, whenever they're on. You gotta clear your calendar, because his fights, most of them end in a knockout. He doesn't have to be perfect to win, you know, because of his punching power and his hand speed. He caught Barrios with a great shot in the solar plexus that really spelled the end. And he's got that killer instinct, which you like to see in a fighter. I still don't put him ahead of Teofimo Lopez, but to me, that's the best fight in boxing that can be made. It's tremendous. You know, I would love to see that fight happen within the next year and a half while they're still both in their primes. I don't think that he's going to stay at 140, because I don't think he's a real, you know, at 140, I don't think he beats someone like Josh Taylor. I think it was too big for him. But Gervonta Davis it was a really good night. You know, the numbers haven't come out on the pay-per-view. I wonder why. Normally when they do really well, you know, they're the first ones, you know, the promotional companies are the first ones to say how many buys they had. A real good win. A real good win for Gervonta Davis. He's now the WBA whatever champ, although he's not really a champion at 140. You know, the real deal is Josh Taylor.
Yeah, but, and you know, no offense to to his opponent, and of course trained by Virgil Hunter. They had a great game plan. They fought perfectly up until when the end came. I will say this. This is terrible, hard for me to say this. He wasn't on my radar at 140 pounds, and the guy had a WBA title, so yikes.
Yeah, right. I mean, and it's not his fault. I mean, you know, if they're going to give you a little trinket and PBC is going to prop you up as a champ, then, you know, what are you going to say? No. Especially just in the shadows of the great unification bout that we had between Ramirez and Taylor, you know, it's, you know, you don't want to crap on the fighters, because, you know, it's not their doing, you know, it's all promotional and TV, you know, and the WBA, you know, making up these bogus titles. But Barrios, he looked good, you know, and, he was a 5-1 underdog, you know, and so to me, they'll probably bring him back, you know, Virgil Hunter, he did a real nice job with him. Hopefully he's able to bounce back.
Okay. Last question for the PhD before we send him off to celebrate the 4th of July with his lovely family. Ryan Garcia and the Tank. That's what Floyd Mayweather is talking about. Is Floyd on the right track there, or is this Floyd just spouting from one side of the track, or are both sides of the track talking about this?
Well, Ryan's been calling him out for about a year and a half. Then Floyd had said in the press conference that they're not going to fight anyone that's not within PBC or under Al Haymon. He said a quote, not verbatim, I don't remember, but something to the effect, we're not going to make other promoters rich. You know, now I don't know if that's a ploy to maybe recruit fighters once their contract is up. You know, basically he's calling his man Davis as the cash cow. But we all know that if anyone between the two has superstar potential between Garcia and Davis is Garcia. You know, that's without a doubt. I think that fight can happen because especially we don't know how happy Ryan is with Golden Boy.
Don't take this the wrong way, but I was really happy there were no police reports after the Gervonta Davis fight.
That is definitely a win. Yes, the after party must have been very subdued.
Exactly. You know, Floyd was there monitoring everything. Anyway, Boxing's PhD, go have a great weekend with the family. We'll talk to you Saturday. Saturdays, of course, is when Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, appears on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, WBC. Well, Fernandez didn't do so well last night. We'll talk about that after break. I'm talking about John Fernandez. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
The thing is that I'm still in his brain. I'm still in his mind. I'm the guy that he wants to get rid of.
Come on over here, man. He been here before. He done broke records here before. He's a legend of the sport. And it'd be my honor to fight him next.
I don't want to predict this fight, but, you know, I'm going to promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy. And I just do my best.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let Lenny do his thing a little bit here. I'll tell you about the song, my history with the song. So I've got this beautiful lady with me. I won't mention her name because she's married to a very jealous guy now. Okay. So I'm with her and I got Jose Mazzervi with me and the three of us go over to Emeryville, California to watch this show with Lenny Williams as the main event. So Lenny's my buddy in this and that. We've known each other since 74. So I'm sitting in the front row and I've had a few drinks and Lenny opens up with the song, Shudu Fu, ba, 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 ba. So anyway, he gives me the microphone and I really embarrass myself. Well, I couldn't carry a note if you put it in an envelope and handed it to me. Okay. Bottom line is Lenny never did that again. You are tuned, not to me anyway. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Speaking of WBC, El Presidente, Mr. Mauricio Sulaiman was going to appear today, but I said, you know, it's a holiday. You got a couple things to do. I don't want to rush you in between. So it was going to be a rush job. We didn't want to rush it. So he will appear next week here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, which is WBC Boxing TV as well. Chris Colbert remained undefeated last night. Of course, beat on a guy by the name of Tugboat. Of course, we're talking about the former silver medalist in 2012. Of course, featherweight title challenger. Anyway, bottom line is Chris Colbert. It's a guy to look out for, no doubt about that. But a guy that I think you should really take a look at is his lightweight title holder or eliminator. Well, he's got WBA standards all over him. Anyway, bottom line is WBA number 9, Mikel Lazara Ali Rivera. He's got some Ali trunks. I thought it was Muhammad Ali when I looked back at the picture, but I realized, you know, there's Jack Reese in the background as a referee, and Jack Reese is a referee working today, so not Muhammad Ali's here. Anyway, this was Carson, California last night. WBA 135-pound lightweight title eliminator, unbeaten WBA number nine guy, Lazara Ali Rivera, now 21-0, 14 KOs, a spectacular 8th-round knockout over the number 11th-ranked John Fernandez. No relation. 21-2, 18 KOs. Of course, that was the Colbert King King Tugboat co-feature. It was Saturday night, of course, at the Dignity Health Park in Carson, California. What, they got health organizations sponsoring boxing arenas now? Anyway, bottom line is the time was, in round number 8, was 44 seconds. He's a good-looking fighter. He's got some good-looking moves, no doubt about that. Now, back to the news at hand, coming to us from across the pond, of course, the Philippines, my favorite place. Not. I went there once. They probably won't invite me back. If I remember when they were talking about suing me in the Philippines, because I said something about, was it the press? I said something about somebody in the Philippines. They went absolutely berserk. They banned me from different websites over there. And they went after, I think the Manny Pacquiao's website guy. They went after him. MannyPacquiao.ph, because I printed some stuff there about the Filipino government and this and that. And they got upset about it. Anyway, Filipino government, back in the news, Rodrigo Duterte, the president. The POS, if there ever was a POS in the entire world, it has to be this guy. I mean, yikes. You smoke weed, he catches you, he don't like you, you're dead. They just execute you on the street. Heroin guys, no trials, nothing like that. Bang. This execution is right there in the street. That's what he's fostering. That's what he's telling his cops. I'm not going to prosecute you. Go out there and do it. So anyway, this guy, of course, is probably one of the most corrupt men on the planet. And I think I can say that safely. Of course, President Ferdinand Marcos preceded him. President Ferdinand Marcos, of course, had a opposition leader by the name of Ninoy Aquino. He was he was the president in exile, sort of the Philippines, the president of the people. Anyway, his wife was Corazon Aquino. She would later become the Philippines president, and then I would become her bodyguard in 1985 when I was a member of the San Francisco Police Department. Anyway, Mr. Aquino stepped off a plane going back to the Philippines, and he was shot dead as his foot set foot on the tarmac. In other words, when his foot came down off the airplane, his first foot, he was shot in the back of the head. They killed him right then and there. Of course, Fernando Marcos killed him, his political opponent. No doubt about that. I mean, everybody knew that Marcos was behind it. I think that some guys, the killers, committed suicide or they were killed or something like that. But they were fall guys. They were marks. There's no doubt about it. Marcos was behind it. Nobody else wanted to kill Mr. Aquino. I mean, he was the most beloved man in the entire Philippines than Ferdinand Marcos. Anyway, that being the case, I bring this up because Duwalamin is now taking shots at Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao's the center in the Philippines, as was Aquino. And, of course, Manny Pacquiao will be president someday of the Philippines. There's little doubt in my mind. I mean, 62-7 is a professional fighter with a couple of draws and like 39 KOs. He's been around a long, long time, a champion of note here in the United States since 2001, but he held a WBC 112-pound title before that in the Philippines. What I'm trying to tell you is he is the most iconic figure to emerge from the sport of boxing since Muhammad Ali. And I mean that. I mean a guy that can touch people without putting his hand on them. Manny Pacquiao can do that. Nobody else can. Floyd Mayweather fans are, they go berserk on the internet every time I bring this up because they're the only ones knocking Manny Pacquiao. How can you knock a guy that's building homes for the poor, that's feeding poor people, that's writing legislation as a senator, that's made to help the poor? I mean, come on, man. And now he's trying to say there's $10.4 billion in Filipino money missing. And he points his finger, of course, at the current administration, which is headed by the aforementioned Mr. Duwalamin. Okay, Duwalamin might kill Manny Pacquiao. That's what I'm leading to. So Manny Pacquiao, his days might be numbered. And why do I say this? Because of history in the Philippines. That's the way it's done. When you become a rival political opponent and you have the potential to take out a dictator, guess what? The dictator gets to you first. It's like kill or be killed. So if I was Manny Pacquiao, I don't know how much I'd want to stay in the Philippines. I really don't. I mean, I'd have bodyguards up there, yin yang, and then of course, you gotta hope that your bodyguards aren't compromised and bought off by the other side, because that's how they got to JFK, believe it or not. Yeah, they got to JFK by going to the Secret Service. The driver of the Secret Service car just stopped the car in the middle of the street. When the president was dead, he drove away. I kid you not. So you have to get to somebody protecting the president or the candidate in order to kill him. What I'm trying to tell you is that Manny Pacquiao better hire the best security guards in the entire world, because now Duwalamin's got a target on him. And guess what? Duwalamin will kill him in a heartbeat. Like one of those dope dealers on the street will kill him in a heartbeat. And you know what? Everybody they'll pitch a bitch and there'll be all kinds of, little mini riots in the Philippines. But at the end of the day, Duwalamin will still be in power and Manny Pacquiao will be dead. So if I was Manny Pacquiao, I'd definitely watch my ass. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, open phone lines around the planet if you dare. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, the guilt-free, no commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. The Godfather, Larry Merchant, not in the house today. Of course, he'll be in here next week. Wasn't feeling all right. Well, he had a cold. Sounds like he had a cold today. But the bottom line is, we gave Larry the day off. It is Independence Day. So he and the Godmom are spending it together. May they have the best 4th of July ever. No doubt about that. You know I love him dearly. The Godfather is Larry Merchant. Nobody can get me to do things like Larry. And Larry doesn't ask me to do anything. I'm just willing to do anything for him. He won't ask you to do anything, but I'm willing to do anything for Larry. Larry's my guy. He is the Godfather. The retired HBO Godfather got a cold. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council. The WBC. Oh, come on. We got the red sun, and we got me. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
He is the greatest fighter of all times next to me.
And my mother told me, it ain't bragging when you're telling the truth, son. She stole that line from Muhammad Ali. I didn't know it until years later I heard Ali say it on a recording. I said to myself, my mother stole that line. She's a plagiarist. My mother stole that line from, Muhammad Ali. Well, she was a great motivationalist, no doubt about that. I told you sometimes before a fight, she would bring, like, if there was a newspaper article on the other guy, she'd bring it in right before the fight, right in the dressing room. She'd be, I happen to see this in the San Jose Mercury News Day. You want to take a look at this? And I have my hands wrapped, growling this and that. And it would just further motivate me, no doubt about that. But she knew how to push the buttons. That is my mother. May she rest in peace. Independence Day 2021. Dustin Poirier, remember him? Last time we saw him, he was like beating the snot out of Conor McGregor. And why do I bring up Conor McGregor? Of course, that Manny Pacquiao, of course, the Errol Spence fight was supposed to take place, in a couple of weeks. They're trying to say that's sort of up in the air. We'll see what's going on with that. But of course, that was preceded by Manny Pacquiao signing a contract to fight Conor McGregor. Of course, McGregor lost to Poirier. That sort of killed the box office sizzle to an extent there. But Manny Pacquiao allegedly took a $3.2 million advance. So he took a $3.2 million advance to fight Mikey Garcia or Conor McGregor. He was going to fight Conor, then Conor got hurt, or Conor lost in that fight to Poirier. So Conor had to redirect and put 100% of his attention on MMA and the UFC. So he had to pass on the boxing match. So enter Mikey Garcia. And Mikey Garcia supposedly signs a contract, and Manny Pacquiao signs a contract as well, and he takes a few million dollars in advance, and then he signs his contract to fight Errol Spence in July. So I'm sort of like perplexed, except this is boxing. And when you offer a fighter money, he sort of takes it and doesn't think no question about it. I mean, like I've told you about the many guys, Tim Witherspoon especially, he claimed Don King ripped him off. He bitched and moaned about Don King ripping him off. And, of course, I think he did get a judgment against Don. But, these guys get advances on their purses. In other words, if I'm making $200,000 for a fight and I go to Don King and I say, I need $40,000 right now. This is like 6 weeks for the fight. Then, like 2 weeks for the fight, I go, I need another $40,000. So I've taken $80,000, right? So I'm not going to get a check for $200,000 that night. I'm going to get a check for $120,000. Well, these guys say, hey, what are you talking about? No. You get an advance, you got to pay for it. Except, of course, you're the Trump company and the Trump organization being indicted this week by the New York State Grand Jury and, of course, a criminal grand jury there in New York City. That's going to be a wild thing, no doubt about that. So we'll see what happens there. But back to the sport at hand, of course, MMA. We'll talk about that in just a second because Conor McGregor is going to fight Dustin Poirier, of course, the third time around. I think Conor beat him the first time. Dustin dusted him the second time. That was last year in Conor's last fight. And now it's going to go down, of course, at the T-Mobile Center. Take that back. Is it the T-Mobile Center? Yeah, the T-Mobile Center in Las Vegas, Nevada, July the 10th. That's next Saturday night, of course. The main event, the third time around, Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor. Poirier, a slight favorite here. I would make him a bigger favorite because he beat down Conor McGregor that second time and just beat him down. McGregor's not the same guy he was. Why? Old and booze and whatever else he does. I mean, the guy made $200 million in his whiskey business last year. You really think he wants to, train and cut weight and sacrifice himself and do all kinds of horrible things? Guys do horrible things to their body to make weight. I mean, I'm talking enemas, all kinds of crazy stuff, folks. I kid you, whatever you could think about that it's imaginable to make weight. I see one guy, Richard Duran, the late Richard Duran. Of course, he challenged, I think, for the IBF 122-pound title at one point in time. But, against Kennedy McKinney. Anyway, Richard Duran and I went to sleep one night, and I was 140 pounds. I had to make 139 pounds in an ill-fated attempt at the California state title back in, I think, 84 against Keith Payne. Anyway, lost the decision to him. But, Richard was a flyweight on the car, 112 pounds. So he went to bed at 118 pounds. And he had this bucket next to his bed. So he was on 118. And I was freaking out being 140, like being a pound over, right? And he's like 118. He's 6 pounds over. And I'm going, my God, how are you going to make the weight? He said, oh, I'll make the weight without a problem. Watch. So all night long, he was laying there in his bed chewing on Gatorade gum. And he kept spitting and spitting and spitting. And believe it or not, by 8 o'clock a.m. when we weighed in, he weighed 111 and a half pounds. Of course, he went to the bathroom as well. But the bottom line is he spit off all that weight. So being able to come down in weight is tough. It requires an incredible amount of dedication. I mean, we're talking about the headaches. Some of you have gotten headaches, like you're not eating for a while and gotten a headache because you haven't eaten for a while. Imagine having that headache, stay a day or longer. because you haven't eaten, or you may be eating Kool-Aid ice cubes, or maybe eating broccoli dipped in spaghetti sauce or something like that. I mean, eating all kinds of extreme stuff that your dietitians come up with you because they have to, it's a challenging thing. I mean, it's sort of like cooking for a diabetic when you're cooking for a boxer. Nah, very little on the salt, a little bit of sugar. No. I need to eat. I need to eat like a human being. Please lay it out there. I remember my mother used to say to me, I said, hey, Mom, what's for dinner tonight? She goes, Chris said you're not making weight too well. I said, yeah, I'm having a few problems. She goes, what are you weighing today? I tell her, like 44 coming out of the gym. She goes, yeah, you're going to fight in like 2 weeks, so you know, we like to get that weight down, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I go, what's for dinner? And she would open up the pot. And there would be like 4 broccoli heads and spaghetti sauce. That was it. That was dinner. I kid you not, in the salad. But that's the way we went. Of course, we rolled down the 139 pounds. But had I truly been dedicated and I look back at my boxing career now, I would not have been a junior welterweight. I would have been a lightweight, 132 pounds. If I was dilly dedicated to my craft, I'd have been 132 pounds. Hector Martinez, Hector and Pete, part of the Hector and Pete show I'm going to be starting in a couple of weeks. He was a 2-time Golden Glove champion, better than I, but smaller, just smaller. I mean, the size of difference, the size difference in he and I standing together is like one weight division apart. I mean, you can just see it. So, you know, I should have been at 32. He should have been at 26. In fact, when he was fighting in the Golden Gloves, I remember when he fought for the championship, I think he weighed in 128 pounds for that first Golden Glove title. Back in 1979, Hector Martinez, I don't forget. Anyway, also on the Dustin Poirier, Conor McGregor card, Gilbert Burns, good-looking welterweight, lost in a title fight in his last time out, taking on Stephen the Schoolboy Thompson. Stephen's another one of those guys who was real pretty until he got mangled in a fight. You get mangled in these fights, man, like Brian Ortega. Brian Ortega was one of those beautiful men on earth. No, I'm not gay. I'm happy. Anyway, well, but I'm not, you know, I mean, he was just a good-looking guy. I'm not trying to say he isn't now, but he looks a whole lot different. It's like he's like, I'm not trying to say he made some type of transformation or evolution. Anyway, he's changed. And the reason why he changed was he took that beating that last time out from Max Holloway. I mean, Max beat on him like a pair of Congo drums. He beat on him till the skin of the drum wasn't there anymore. And like beat him down. And they kept letting the fight go. And I'm screaming at the TV, throwing pens at the, I was scoring the fight. So I'm throwing pens at the TV and pens at the computer. Stop the fight, stop the fight. But the Ortega team didn't stop the fight. The doctor didn't stop the fight. I think this was in Las Vegas, Nevada. The doctor didn't stop the fight. I mean, what has to happen? Does a man have to be dead before you're going to stop a UFC fight? Is that the way it goes down? I mean, you never see a towel being thrown in from the corner. Why not? Why not? I mean, when I was coaching amateur boxing, I had young amateurs there, whether it was an amateur or professional, I felt inclined if I was working a corner, if I saw something going wrong, bang! The towel went in. I was like the Jerry Tarkanian of amateur boxing. Of course, he was the UNLV coach and from before that, Bakersfield, California, college basketball coach. Anyway, he carried this shark, this towel, and he would put this towel in his mouth and bite down on it. And of course, he would throw it on the ground and have all kinds of stuff. But I would use that towel and throw it in the ring. I mean, if I saw one of my guys buzzed, no. We're talking about a 12, 13-year-old kid. I don't need him buzzed. Once he gets, if he's buzzed, we don't need him rebuzzed again because that's where you get damaged. That's where you get hurt. When guys are hurt, you need to stop things. I'm talking about the UFC. They're not stopping fights. Hector said last week, well, you know, the UFC's been around a long time and I'm not seeing no too many guys being punched drunk. Yeah, there are a lot of guys getting punched drunk, getting hurt, the residual effects of combat sports. I mean, when you take knees and get choked out, and when you get choked out, remember, they're denying oxygen to your brain. I mean, that's got to have some issues in it. That's like a knockout. I mean, good Lord, what's the difference between that and being knocked out? Not much, okay? So as far as the beatdowns are concerned in the UFC, I think they should be shortened. I think maybe we should go to 3-minute rounds. And I think that for the 3-minute rounds, I think that we shorten the fights as far as these championship fights are concerned. Shorten them, just make all the fights 3 rounds because five-minute rounds is just way too much for these guys. And the residual effects down the road. I mean, Dana White's not going to be hanging out with these guys in 10 or 15 years from now unless he's got a buck to make off them. That's all. I mean, be honest. He is the pimp of all pimps. And I roll my eyes when I say that because I knew some good pimps. How do I say that? I didn't know some good pimps. I knew some pimps here in San Francisco when I was a cop. Okay. Pimps said they had girls work in the streets and like that. They were pimps. They controlled girls or they put girls on the street and the girls did sexual favors for cash. And no credit cards back then. No Venmo back then. No PayPal back then. Anyway, just some so-called cash on the streets of San Francisco. So anyway, these girls, when I figured out, one guy ended up telling me they got about 50% of what they took in. So in other words, if they did a $100 favor, they got 50 bucks. But if you do a $100 favor in the UFC, you get $8 to $12. That's it. That's what the fighters are making as far as the UFC is concerned. And I stress this time and time and time again. If you're a multi-million dollar organization, they made $269 million is what they made in 2020. That's up from the previous year, I think, by $30 million. They're making a lot of money. Why aren't the fighters getting that? Why are the fighters getting 8 to 10% or 8 to 12% of the dollar? It's just not right. But Dana is the pimp that he is, and he's got the only game in town he thinks that's going to win for him, because Scott Coker, let's be honest, Scott Coker and Bellator, they haven't delivered. I don't know why. They had a good TV contract. They had the MTV money behind them. I mean, big TV money network, big money network as far as the TV was concerned. And they were doing good things there for a while, but their schedule was erratic. They couldn't put together a steady schedule. And if you can't put together a steady schedule of decent fights, in other words, fights people want to see, you're not going to be able to succeed. And I think that Bellator has fallen back. I'm not trying to say that they're not still number two in the world of mixed martial arts, but they've fallen back a couple of notches from the USC as from the position they were a couple of years ago. So what I'm trying to tell you is that as the USC gets stronger, I'm not a big fan of the USC, but it is getting stronger, and of course it's getting to the point where $290 million, that's a lot of money taken. Think about that. $290 million, that's what they took in last year. And yet, if you want to make it, say it was $300 million. Say it was $300 million, okay? So $300 million came in, and they only gave the fighters 8 to 10% of that. Think about that. Not too much. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Fighter on that card. Of course, next Saturday night, Sean O'Malley is a good fighter to look at. He is a bantamweight as far as the UFC is concerned. The women will be on reaction. A Japanese young lady by the name of Yana Kunakaya is going to take on Irene Aldana. Of course, when the ladies rock on in the world of the UFC, they always put forth the best, as are the women in professional boxing. They're starting to step up, no doubt about it. Probably, you know, Katie Taylor. We've talked about a lot of women of late. But you got to really give props to women, because they're stepping up and they hear me screaming. They hear me screaming on a week after week. If you don't deliver entertainment, the sport's not going to thrive. Nobody wants to see WNBA type of boxing. Ooh, did I really say that? Yes, I did. Nobody wants to see WNBA type of boxing. In other words, the WNBA, if you like chicks and basketball, I guess it's sort of cool, but if you're a really basketball freak, it's not like the deliver. It doesn't deliver. It's not the ultimate. The ultimate, obviously, is the National Basketball Association, but the WNBA, of course, it's funded by the NBA. There's some money put aside to keep them floating in this. I don't know how they do as far as their arena games are concerned, but the bottom line is I watch their games, and they're not all that exciting, so that wouldn't entice me to want to watch any more women's basketball. Now, as of late, women are stepping up in the world of boxing. Of course, Amanda Serrano, pound for pound, maybe the best woman fighter, maybe, of all time, one of the greatest of all time. She's like only lost one fight in like 40 fights, and she's won divisions at one weight classes, championships at different weight classes. Then she stepped into the world of mixed martial arts, and she stopped some girl in like 55 seconds a couple of weeks ago. Speaking of stepping up to the world of mixed martial arts, Clarissa Shields, not my favorite fighter, but pound for pound, one of the better women boxers, no doubt about that. She's got a big mouth, a big nasty mouth. This doesn't go well with me. Anyway, she was in an MMA fight a few weeks ago, a fortnight ago, and she was in trouble in that first round. She was in deep trouble in that first round. And I think she came back she came back a little bit later and she won, but she got out of the first round, and I was saying to myself, well, she's bitten off too much. She can't, bitten off more than she can chew. Bottom line is, you know, she's gonna get lit up here, and then she came back and won. So props to Clarissa Shields, no doubt about that. I didn't think she was winning that MMA fight, especially after that first round. This is Ring Talk, live worldwide. Check your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. For the most part, we use the music of Tower of Power. I want to thank Emilio Castillo, of course, the band leader, the founder of the band. Of course, no doubt about that. You can check them out at towerofpower.com.
Ring Talk, live worldwide. Brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez. Sitting by the damn floor, checking it out. Watching the man with the fast feet. Got the hippest friends and the bad boogaloo. The big old bag of tricks down to the nightclub.
Wow, a couple of hot techs coming in here. Am I predicting an assassination? I'm trying to predict no assassination. I'm trying to tell you about the history of the Philippines and the fact that people have been killed for less. And I'm trying to tell you, the power of the entire Philippine government is on the line here. I'm talking about Manny Pacquiao stepping up against President Rodrigo Duhalme. Of course, Duhalme, a guy that's killed people on street corners, had people killed on street corners for alleged, they haven't been convicted or anything, but alleged drug use things. And all you have to do is be alleged to be using drugs in the Philippines, and this guy can have the cops kill you on the street corner. And guess what? He's cool. He's not prosecuting anybody. Anyway, bottom line is, Manny Pacquiao messes around with this guy, he will end up with a bullet in his head, just like Nino Aquino. Why do I say that? Philippine history, no doubt about that. Hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide coming up, of course, to you live on sportsbyline.com, of course, twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, live video as I speak, live video streaming will be up later at my Facebook page. Of course, Facebook meaning Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Ring Talk and Pedro Fernandez. You can check us out on Facebook. But hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide forthcoming after the break. Of course, we'll talk about boxing, MMA in detail. But I'm going to go into some of my travels around the world and some of the controversial issues I've had as far as travel is concerned, and maybe some of the controversies I've created myself as far as being in different foreign governments. Remember when my mother said to me, don't embarrass yourself if you ever go on the road as far as being in other countries, because you got a big mouth and you say something stupid, you know you're in somebody else's country. Listen, we'll get into that in depth in hour number two. We'll also talk boxing and MMA in depth, bottom line is A to Z. Open phone lines around the planet. If you want to join us, you can. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Tyson Fury. And, of course, and going to hook it up with Deontay Wilder one more time. Why? I don't know. Bottom line is, yeah, I do. Money. And, of course, they're going to hook it up in July, but we'll talk about that in depth in hour number two. And also look into the fact there will be a heavyweight undercard, all heavyweights, of course, on this Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder 3 undercard. That and more when Ring Talk returns after news. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of Sports Byline. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Stay tuned for hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. 'Cause I love you so.